My name's Phil Simpson. I work for CMS, Church Mission Society, one of the directors. I used to be involved in the field of drug addiction myself, worked in Pakistan as a mission partner with a drug rehab project. But today we have a panel of three experts, and they're going to be each one sharing on the whole area of addiction, work with the poor, work with those on the margins. The people are in who have experience of slavery in one form or another. This is part of an ongoing. The past 3 years, CMS has been picking up on this theme of setting captives free. A couple of years ago, we had an emphasis on northern Uganda and child soldiers in Kitgum. Some of you remember the wooden crosses. You probably got a green belt on that year. And then last year, it was an emphasis on the sex trafficking in India and Bangladesh. And as a result of both of those campaigns, we've been able to see, we've been able to lobby and see some changes in the situation, both in Kitgum and in India, Bangladesh. This year, we're emphasizing the whole area of addiction. We're featuring the work of Izhod, Exodus, from southern Russia. And they will be sharing a little bit today with you. So today we have Bishop Edward from in the middle here, from Rostov in southern Russia, and he'll be sharing. We have Dr. Tani, and he's from Liverpool, from Love and Joy Ministries, and then he'll be sharing as well. We've asked each one to share a little, and then we'll be receiving questions from you for the panel. And then we have, I call her Professor Jackie Pullinger. She's my professor. I learned so much from her in the field of addiction. Spent a month with Jackie, well, it's about 19 years ago now. It's quite a while ago. Actually, I want to take this opportunity. If you've read the book Chasing the Dragon, you'll know that Jackie was rejected by a mission agency. And I would like to own up that was CMS. And we want to publicly apologise to Jackie.
At the organisation, we were seeing that we had him. Извини, что перед ним сейчас, потому что мы оказались
не приняли. But I'm convinced that if she joined CMS, she wouldn't have done all that she's done. So we're really pleased that God has used her in that way. Wonderful story. And Jackie will be sharing. Jackie will be sharing as well at 12:30 in the CMS tent. She's flying off at 3:30, so it's quite a busy packed schedule. If you want to hear Jackie, you're getting a taster from each one. If you want to hear Jackie, come at 12:30 to the CMS tent. More from Exodus, Izhod, both tonight at 9, tomorrow night at 9, and also at 10 o'clock on Monday at the CMS tent. And then if you want to hear more about Lighthouse Ministries in Liverpool from Dr. Tani, then come at 3 o'clock tomorrow, Sunday, at the CMS tent. I'll mention all those again later. But we're going to start by handing over to Izhod to hear from Bishop Edward. And Alison, who's a CMS mission partner, is interpreting for him. Edward.
I give you greetings, everyone.
I want to share with you that Бог через нас делает в России.
And I would like to share with you what God is doing through us in Russia.
Мы трудимся в России уже 6 лет.
We've already been working in Russia for 6 years.
Служение Exodus.
It's the ministry of Exodus.
Является таким служением, мы помогаем зависимым людям.
And we help those who are addicted.
И сейчас в России уже 51 центр.
And now in Russia we already have 50 rehabilitation centers.
1500 человек находится на реабилитации.
1,500 people are going through rehab at the moment, at any one time.
Скажу вам честно, что не так сложно привести этих людей в реп-центр.
I tell you honestly, it's not that difficult to bring people to a rehab center.
Сложнее дальше.
It's more difficult later.
Показать человеку его путь в жизнь.
To help them find their way in life with Jesus.
Объяснить человеку и, знаете, познакомить человека со Христом.
And help them actually come to know Jesus for themselves.
Чтобы он понял свое призвание.
So that they understand their own calling.
Некоторые думают, что наркоман – это человек, который просто заболел ангиной.
Some people think that addicts are people who have like got sick with some kind of infection.
Но это не так.
But it's completely not like that.
Я хочу сказать, что Иисус, Он освобождал сразу людей.
Jesus sets people free immediately.
Но проблема, когда человек опять возвращается к такому же образу жизни.
But the difficulty comes when they return to their old way of life.
И Священное Писание говорит, что Иисус дал нам великое поручение.
And the Bible says he gives us the great commandment.
Научить все народы.
To teach all people.
Крестя их во имя Отца, Сына и Святого Духа.
And baptize them in the name of the Son, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
И зависимые люди.
And addicted people.
Это как целый народ.
Are like all people.
Для которого нужен Моисей.
Who need a Moses to lead them.
Который поведет этот народ.
To lead them in life.
И наш руководитель,
and our director,
Сергей Федорович Ощепков,
is Sergei Ощепков,
получил призвание от Бога,
who received a calling from God,
помогать таким же людям.
To help these type of people.
Он был 20 лет в зависимости.
He was an addict for 25 years.
И через это служение я услышал о Христе.
And through this ministry, I heard about Christ.
Я был 12 лет зависимый человек.
I was an addict for 12 years.
4 раза я сидел в тюрьме.
4 times I was in prison.
И Бог кардинально изменил мою жизнь.
And God radically changed my life.
И я получил призвание.
I received my calling.
Также помогать таким же людям.
Also to help these type of people.
Знаете, Бог сказал, что Он даст нам дар иных языков.
You know, God told us He would give us the gift of speaking in tongues.
Не нужно быть зависимым.
You don't need to be an addict.
Чтобы помогать таким же людям.
To help other addicts, those type of people.
Он дал дар иных языков, то есть каждый верующий.
So He's given gifts to every believer.
Может понять этих людей.
To understand these type of people.
И помочь им.
And help them.
И я очень благодарен,
I'm very grateful,
что я нахожусь здесь.
That I'm able to be here.
И представляю служение Исход.
And explain to you the ministry of Исход.
Я благодарен CMS.
I'm very grateful to CMS
за приглашение.
For the invitation.
Я благодарен вам, что вы здесь, на этом месте.
And I'm grateful to you that you've come to listen.
И мы побеждаем дьявола силой свидетельства.
And we will overcome Satan with the blood and the testimony.
И хотим больше поделиться тем опытом, который есть у нас.
And we want to share everything about our experience that we have.
Потому что это колоссальная проблема для всего человечества.
Because we realize that this is a problem that is affecting all of human society.
У нас также есть реп-центр здесь, на территории Лондона.
We also have a rehab center here in London.
10 центров в Америке.
And 10 centers in America.
И все потому, что мы хотим просто помочь людям.
And it's only because we want to help people.
У нас есть девиз «помочь хотя бы одному человеку».
Our calling is to help at least one person.
Взять этого человека и просто не просто рассказать ему о Христе, а взять с точки А, привести в точку Б.
And not just to tell them about Jesus, but to take them from one place and to a completely different place.
У нас на сегодняшний день уже 80 семей.
We already have 80 families.
Около 100 детей родилось.
And about 100 children who have new children have been born.
Это те люди, которые были обречены на смерть.
These are all people who were only expected to die.
И им никто не протянул руку помощи.
No one stretched out their hand to help them.
Им протянул Христос через нас.
But Christ held out His hand through us.
Руку помощи.
A hand of help. Thank you.
Thank you. As I said, that's just a taster. You're going to hear more if you come in the evening. And you'll also have an opportunity to see the film about the word of Izhar of Exodus. I went to see this program about 18 months ago, I think it was. And a wonderful program it is as well. You can really sense the power of God at work in their lives. Just a reminder, as questions occur to you, write them down on a piece of paper that you can hand to one of the stewards in these tops. And then Paul Thaxter, I don't know where he's over here, Paul will collect them and pass them to me. So do be writing. If you want a piece of paper, just ask one of those stewards for a piece of paper and they'll just write them down as they occur to you. If you want to inquire more about the work of Exodus and how people are delivered from heroin, how it works, then you can ask. I'm going to hand over now to Dr. Tani from Love and Joy Ministries in Liverpool, and he's going to share more about his work.
Thank you. Hello, my name is Tani. I came to the UK to study engineering several years ago. Can't remember how long now. But at a particular time, I felt I heard God call me to Liverpool. And at that time, it was really, I suppose I had no full understanding of what it was that God was planning to do. We began a church, a small house group from there. It grew. And we, in 1991, we moved to Anfield, about 100 meters from the football ground, Liverpool Football Club. And at that time, we became conscious of the very serious community that God had placed us in. For instance, in front of our church building, it was the main dealing place for drug dealers. And kids were on the street late at night, 11 o'clock. You'll see kids going on the road, cars smashed, and kids running riot. And these were the real first experience we had of the cry of God's heart for the community that He placed us in. You know, I grew up in a church tradition where, you know, the church was sort of hemmed in and had church. And suddenly, here we were exposed to these horrendous challenges. And the schools there were failing badly. Half the houses there didn't have any wage earner there. And so confronted with these challenges, we began to feel really, I suppose we began to feel a real pain in our heart. And it was God putting his love and his compassion for these people upon us. And we began to seek God on what we could do to respond to some of these. And I won't tell you the full details now, but God led us to set up to refurbish an old cinema, which is now turned into what is called the Lighthouse, Liverpool Lighthouse, a project. Now, the project, the vision for the project, is really from John 10:10, when Jesus said, "I have come that they might have life and have it in all its fullness." It's this vision of bringing people to wholeness in God. And when I say people, you know, people that are disenfranchised, people on the margins. And over the last few years, the project has developed. We have about 1,000 people coming in every week into that project, accessing various things. Just to give you an example, we run an alternative education program. You saw our gospel choir on stage yesterday. For some of you that were here for the opening, we use urban gospel music. That's the main thrust that we use as a ministry for engaging with disaffected groups. We run, for instance, an alternative education program for kids that have been kicked out of school. Many of them really traumatized. Nobody else wants them, on drugs and self-mutilating and family problems and you name it, they have it. But I'll just tell you an example. One girl, last year, she actually was nominated the Young Person of the Year. And she received an award from the mayor, supported by the Liverpool Football Club. That's just the transition that happens. She's now come to church. The mom has come with her. That's just an example. A young woman that came in totally wrecked with alcoholism. The marriage had broken down and was picked up on the street by one of our men, came in, was prayed for, and now she actually works for us. And many of the people in our staff, we have a staff team of about 40 staff, and about half of them have come through probation service and, you know, various, you know, people that were rejected. They've gone through the whole process of lives being transformed, of education and so on. Some now have their families and kids. So this is the work that God is doing, particularly in the field of addiction. We just did a DVD which was funded by one of the council programs to produce a DVD to engage with young people on the whole area of addiction. So I said, I'm just going to ask one young lady just to come and read out a poem, and it was written by one of our young ladies that's gone through our program. Now, these are her words, and we believe that they are her experience that she encapsulated in this poem. Do you want to just come and read it out?
What would you do? Written by Portia. What would you do if someone gave you a needle? Would you put it in your arm to make you feel strong? Steroids, can they help you? Is it right or is it wrong? What would you do if you took smack? Would you regret it and always look back? Or stand up straight and accept your mistakes and move forward to a better place? What would you do if you snorted cocaine and your nose was in so much pain? Would you carry on and still play the game? Or still do the same? Or walk away in shame? What would you do if you were paranoid of skunk, thinking everyone hates you and you were going to get jumped? What would you do if you sniffed glue, getting smashed? Would it be a laugh? Would it be a buzz? Would it be a joke? Hiding problems like you can't cope. What would you do if you were a young girl and you got spiked with GHB and somebody ruined your world? You drank too much and thought you were off your face, and you couldn't admit to yourself that you were raped.
So these challenges are on our doorsteps, and may God open our eyes to recognize them. You know, God wants to do something about them through us, the church.
Thank you, Dr. Dunny. A reminder, do write down your questions as they occur to you. We want you to really come up with the really difficult questions for this panel of experts who are dying to answer them. They'll be falling over each other to answer your questions. So we've been to southern Russia, to Rostov and Krasnodar, via America and London as well. And we've been to Liverpool and heard about the problem on our doorstep. And let's now fly over, as it were, to Hong Kong and China and hear what Jackie's been involved in. We owe a great debt to Jackie for leading the way for many of us in the field of addiction to discover that God can actually heal people of their addictions. And it's not just a medical problem. So over to Jackie. Thank you.
Thank you. First of all, I wasn't interested in drug addicts. I went to Hong Kong in 1966, and I didn't know what drug addicts did. I was always interested in the lost. And the scripture says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me to give good news to the poor. Now, good news is good news. It's not good advice. Which means that when the poor hear it, in whichever way they're poor, it's, oh, I was waiting to hear that. Not, this is a religious pill to swallow. And Our work is not with drug addicts. We just happen to be housing 300 ex-drug addicts. That's just by the way. We've come to give good news to the poor in whichever way they are poor. It just happens to be that a rather large number of the poor who responded to Jesus were drug addicts. And I personally have not found any way of helping them apart from in a home. Ours are grassroots, uneducated. If you sent them off to a counseling program or a 12-step meeting, they'd never get there. They haven't got the bus fare. They forget the day of the week, and they couldn't sit in a circle and discuss themselves. They are so frightened of thinking. In fact, taking drugs is the way of not thinking, because the whole life is shame or pain. So to take a drug is, I don't have to think about this. I don't have to listen to my naggy wife or crying mother or friend who wants the money back that they lent me. So I forget. I just take drugs and my problem has gone away. That's how it is. So we had to find a way to help them. That was not counseling. And I've never actually ever told anyone to get off drugs. Complete waste of time. I mean, taking drugs is illogical. Just as the poem said, I mean, what sensible person sticks powder up their nose or a needle in their arm? It's illogical to take it. So it's not logical to come off. So I've never told anybody to quit drugs. And I never will. But there's something else that they would love to hear. And the first two for us, how it happened, was miraculous. And I was not surprised. The Holy Spirit came on the first two. And one of them spoke in tongues, and he'd never heard of it. And he spoke in tongues for about half an hour. And he was out of his addiction. And I thought, good, well, that's fine. All I have to do is walk into drug dens, lay my hands on them. The Holy Spirit will come, and the problem's over. So I said, go off and get a job and keep away from the bad guys. So I was very surprised when he came back for the Sunday meeting a few days later. That was just two of us. That was him and me, the Sunday meeting. And he said, I would like to testify to what Jesus has done. I was in the opium den the other night. And the opium den has a platform roughly this size, a little lower, full of slime, because stuff comes out of every opening in the body when you take opium. And he said, they offered me free opium. And he said, I wanted to take it. But then I remembered, oh, wait a minute, I've just come to know Jesus. This was 3 days before. So I knelt on the platform and I sang them a song. It's a very appropriate song for opium addicts. It's Give Me Oil in My Lamp. So he said, praise the Lord. I knelt on the floor and sang to them. And I said, well, no, I don't think that's praise the Lord at all. It's really not smart to go into a drug den and pray for strength not to take drugs. You shouldn't be in there. And he said, I live there. And then I realized that so much of what I did and we do is like James. We give good advice. We said, be fed, be clothed, be warmed. God bless you. And we go our way, and there's a question mark over their head. What did that mean? And I looked around for a place for him to live and could find nowhere. All the churches wanted references and money, down payments and jobs. And a just converted gangster doesn't have that. So I took him into my home. And then all the problems started. His friends appeared and said, well, if Jesus can change him, I'll have Jesus and I'll live in your home too. Somehow it always goes together. And then we got up to 12 and my friend said, I'm leaving. And it's a bit sort of grown since then. In the next seminar, I will explain for those of you who will be involved how I measure success, which is not at all how the world measures success. And if you've already started and lost 100% of the people who've come to your house, well done. You're on course.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
If you want to just pause and write any more questions that you have, do that. And then we're going to start to give them to the panel. We've got about 20 minutes or so. I've already got about half a dozen. Good, I think we've got enough to start with. I've got a couple here about actually coming off drugs. Very practical one. Do you use methadone within your treatment? Can anyone want to answer that? Do any of you use methadone?
Makes it worse.
Do you want to ask Edward? What's your...
Не, мы не используем никакие препараты. Мы просто за людей молимся.
We don't use any sort of medical help. We just pray for people.
И они освобождаются естественным образом.
And they naturally become free from drugs.
Молимся, и они читают Слово Божье.
We pray and they read the Bible.
И самое первое чудо, когда зависимый человек.
And the first miracle is when an addicted person.
Он начинает прославлять Бога, он начинает хлопать в ладоши.
Starts to praise God and clap.
Он начинает танцевать.
And dance.
У него прекращается ломка.
His withdrawal pain disappears.
И все почему? Потому что его освободил Иисус.
Why? Because Jesus has set them free.
Okay. I do know of programs that do use Christian programs that do use methadone. For example, I know of one in Holland, but we're talking here. We have with us programs that are very much centered on praying in the Holy Spirit for people to come off addiction. And we have a question here. Does an addiction have to be completely overcome to experience unity in Christ? Or is it something, an ongoing battle we only win when made perfect in Christ? Or is this avoiding the issue? Do we need to speak in tongues to break addictions? Jackie?
Of course you don't. It's just a super gift to have. I mean, why not have it if it's going? It's No, that would be very legalistic. When a baby is born, a baby begins to talk. Because the baby wants to express hunger, pain, tiredness, and needing affection. So it's very kind of God to give baby Christians a language to express what they cannot in their own language. And when you're coming off drugs, you're not very good at praying beautiful prayers. So it's very nice to have this language. And the previous question, I don't completely understand, but... about the, coming to wholeness in Christ. Of course, it's an ongoing process. It's no different for an addict than for me. Yeah. And Jesus is revealing things to me now that he knew about me 40 years ago, and he very kindly has still loved me and allowed me to to be used a little bit without those things being cleared up. So I'm not going to point a finger at an addict. Otherwise, I miss the beam in my eye.
There's one here. There are many Christians who don't practice the gifts of the Spirit. What would you say to them about your ministry? Maybe Dr. Tani can kick off on that one, and then anyone else add.
Okay. I suppose ours, really, it's based on God's love. You know, everything we do, that's the heart of it. The gifts are gifts. Gifts are gifts. And gifts are really an indication that they're the heart of the giver. You know, the gifts, they're not what we boast about. The key thing for us is God's love. And it's the love of God that's mobilizing all of us to do the things we do. So I would say that, no, it's not about the gifts, but it's about the giver. And it's about that love that is poured. And it's that love that flows out. I think more than anything else, Jackie's home being open. You know, and we had a group of young people that they were really, really hell to the community. And when we got to Anfield, people came and said, can you do anything with these young people? Now, they robbed anything that was loose. Okay, anything that wasn't tied down, they stole it. But they were stunned. One of the first things they experienced was one of our young men inviting them to their home and leaving them with the key and saying, I'm going out, look after the house, I'll be back. The first thing they did was to laugh and think, who do these men think we are? Is he testing us? Why has he? Doesn't he know who we are? Now, those young people got saved. They formed a choir and they went around ministering around the place. You know, so it's God's love. That's the heart of what we're talking about.
Thank you. Anyone else want to add on that one?
I think that God gives us gifts of the Spirit, but they're actually not for us. He gives us gifts to give other people. And one great way that the poor can lift their heads is that as soon as they know Jesus, they have something to share with other people. Before we go, we'll read out. We've got about 20 words of knowledge for you that my people got. They are gifts from us. No, gifts from God through us to you. So, great. Of course, they're not essential, but they are an indication of God's heart for you. And, you know, for poor people, they don't have to go to Bible college or get trained or ordained or any of this stuff before God can start to use them. And it's a way of lifting our heads.
I have a question here which connects with that. Do you believe that people who have experienced or lived through drugs or rape or hardships, etc., are better or more equipped and more effective than those who haven't in ministering to the lost? Let's start with Jackie and then we'll come to the others.
50-50.
Same thing.
Yeah, they're richer in a knowledge of God's grace. The more you've sinned, the more you love. So therefore, we can thank God we've had the worst lives. On the other hand, because of our background and inheritance, it takes us longer to grow up to a normalcy. So I would say, where is the church that hasn't been addicted, who've grown up with loving parents? They ought to be able to move twice as quickly as us. Sadly, though, it's the recovering addicts that want to help the poor. It's those who've been raped that want to find the lost. We wish it was everyone.
And what about Edward? Is everyone in your program, are they all ex-addicts helping other addicts, or are there people who've never been addicted?
Ну, вообще, в нашем служении не только бывшие наркоманы.
In our ministry, not only ex-addicts are working.
потому что у нас церковное служение.
Because we our work is the work of the church.
Одно из направлений церкви.
And one of the ministries of the church.
Является служение с зависимыми.
Is ministering to addicts.
У нас очень много служений в самой церкви.
But we have many ministries in the church.
100 служений в церкви.
There's 100 different types of ways that people serve.
И одно из них это именно с зависимыми.
And one of those types is helping drug addicts.
И в принципе даже я сейчас несу чуть-чуть другую работу. Я вообще не занимаюсь зависимыми людьми.
And myself, I don't actually focus on drug addicts now at all.
Я уже работаю с другими людьми, то есть с родителями, с теми людьми, которые не имели никакой зависимости.
So most of my work now is with parents, with other people who themselves weren't an addict.
Но их дети были в проблеме.
But often their children had this problem.
Почему так? Потому что я поднял учеников.
Why? Because I have now many disciples who are following me.
Которые помогают мне именно в этой сфере.
Who help me in this ministry.
I'll start Dr. Tanioff on this one, and then anyone else can add. What kind of ongoing help does an addict need once they've conquered their addiction? And how should we react when they, assuming they're Christians, fall either into a new addiction or sinful behavior?
Mm-hmm. Okay, I, from my experience, I mean, we don't have a rehab center. We have a ministry that supports people. And I suppose the strongest thing is a family. And that happens in various forms. And because a lot of people are lonely, and people in addiction are lonelier than most. And for most of them, it's that sense of belonging, being part of. And I think that's what we seek to provide through our center. And we provide that through various ways. For instance, many do voluntary work for us. I mean, responding to the previous question, yes, those that are forgiven much tend to love much. And that's our experience. And so, yeah, we give them opportunity. But above all, it's being part of and belonging to. That's the great support that we offer.
Is that what you find, Jackie, as well? That sense of how do you help people to prevent them to relapsing, and how do you keep them off?
Actually, relapsing doesn't matter. It's not the worst thing that could happen because the problem isn't drugs. So relapsing is simply an indication that we haven't dealt with the problem. So that's not awful. But I think I agree with the doctor. Of course, people need a family, but they actually need Christians they can tell the truth to. And most Christians don't tell the truth. You know, they just go to church and say, praise the Lord, I'm fine. And you need to be able to say, I've fouled up, and for people to say, oh, well done. You're really learning to speak the truth. Good, instead of having to lie, because otherwise you've let the church down and you're a poor witness. So that's why AA is better than most Christian churches. Because AA, you can tell the truth. And you say, I've messed up. And they will walk you through that process. So you must have Christians you can tell the truth to who aren't going to be shocked that you've relapsed.
Thank you. Maybe Edward can do this one. What can you do to bring someone to accept their addiction if they're in denial? Mm-hmm. Sort of fits with what Jackie was saying, but let's hear. What can you do to bring someone to accept their addiction if they're in denial? You know, denial is a river in Egypt, don't you?
Если, в принципе, человек... Конечно, все зависит от человека.
Everything depends on the person.
От его желания.
Of their desire.
Когда он просто говорит, что помогите мне.
Maybe to start with, you'll just say, help me.
Но если человек еще не осознал, что он зависимый человек.
But if they don't accept that they actually have an addiction.
Мы, конечно, пытаемся этому человеку объяснить.
So we help explain it to them.
На своем личном свидетельстве.
Through our own stories.
что тебя через какое-то время просто ждет или смерть, или тюрьма.
We explained to them that in the future, through some kind of period, they will experience either death or prison.
Потому что там, где у нас служение,
because where we minister,
это принцип Иисуса Христа.
We minister in the same principles that Jesus used.
Он сказал, я проповедовал в городах их.
Where he said, I go to their cities.
Их это своих учеников.
Their places was his disciples.
И, к примеру, если мы берем человека из города,
so if we take someone from a particular city,
он является свидетельством для этого города.
He is the light, is the testimony to that city.
И на примере этих свидетельств люди просто, ну, мы им начинаем объяснять, что тебе нужно спасение.
And through that person, we use them to explain to others that they need salvation too.
Тебе не нужно доходить до такого состояния, как дошел, к примеру, этот человек.
And explain that they don't need to get to the bottom level that that person that they know did. They can come to Christ straight away.
So maybe it's more about accepting Christ than it is accepting an addiction. Two for Jackie here. How did God speak to you to go to Hong Kong? Very practical question there. And I am too worried about people who I invite into my home stealing stuff. What are your experiences of this, and how can we overcome this? So relates to your experience you were sharing earlier.
Well, it's fine if they steal things from your home. That means you're on course. Because how could you guarantee? I mean, when Jesus died on the cross, he died whether we said thank you or not. And it wasn't goodness. Maybe I won't die because they won't be grateful. And most of us want to guarantee that the sacrifice we're making is going to pay off. Well, it may not. And if it doesn't pay off, it's certainly registered in heaven. And that's what God is pleased about, the exercise of our heart, not the success of the individual. He doesn't measure by our ways at all. So I've had all my window latches taken off because they were made of copper. And that was very fun in a typhoon. I mean, it makes you slightly smarter the next time, but you know you can't guarantee anything. The only thing I would say is if you've got children in your home, it is different. And you must work this out with your spouse and your family, because it is different, and your first priority has got to be your vulnerable children. So, yeah. But nobody can guarantee. But the whole, what the scripture says about giving to him who asks you is because it's the exercise of God's heart. He doesn't say give to him who's going to use it well. And all of us want to give our money where it's going to be used well. Well, it may not. But Jesus gave his blood for me, whether I used it well or not. So the whole point about giving is the exercise of our heart. And that preaches the gospel. And if they waste it, it's been well used.
And how did God direct you to Hong Kong?
Well, he just said go. So I got on a boat and prayed to know where to get off. So, yeah.
Easy, really. Edward, let's ask you this one. Is your work with people who are addicted focused exclusively on deliverance and healing? Can it also be practical day-to-day care and support of those in addiction? Or is it just for getting them healed?
У нас вообще наша программа это вообще наше служение это нести человека 3 года.
Our program, our ministry is orientated to help people for 3 years.
Так как Иисус учил своих учеников 3 года.
Like Jesus taught his disciples for 3 years.
Если этот человек даже ушел, он ушел с центра, ушел вообще, он начинает колоться, мы все равно идем за этим человеком и помогаем ему.
If someone has left the center, they've gone back to drugs, all we'll still follow them, try to help them come back, try to help them feel that they're welcome.
Но важно для нас это чтобы человек реализовал себя в жизни.
What's important for us is that each person comes to fullness in Christ, in their life, in their new life in Christ.
Чтобы он понял, кто он.
So they understand who they are.
И есть люди, которые реализовывают себя в музыке, в спорте.
People find their calling, their identity in music or in sport, in different ways in life. They find that they can come to fullness, this fullness of life that Christ brings.
Или они служат на полном посвящении в церкви.
Or they are full-time serving in the church.
Thank you. I don't think it's an either or, definitely not. It's got to be both and. It's about helping, healing people, but and doing all everything else that's needed. All those practicals. Here's one for the doctor. Is addiction a choice or a disease?
I would say that addiction is a fruit.
Would you like to elaborate?
It's often a result of something else that's often deeper. And so, I mean, I agree with what Jackie says, that people can be trapped. It can be a gradual process that they get trapped in it. But for many, it's a process that covers up things that are deeper. And so just focusing on the addiction itself, it's like just dealing with symptoms, you know, and one needs to dig deeper. The person, like that prostitute we're talking about this morning, you know, there are deeper things. And when God deals with this, often of significance, of who am I, you know, and when that's dealt with, you find that other things are easy to sort out.
I've got a few about the difference between the East and the West and addicts. We'll come on to that in a moment. It's a very important question. My wife is anorexic. What should I do? So this is a question about a partner who's suffering on behalf of someone who is addicted in some way. My wife is anorexic. What should I do? Who would like to answer that one?
I think all addictions are similar. It depends whether she thinks she is anorexic or you think she is. But she it's very difficult to help her if she doesn't think it's a problem, because the anorexic sees things wrong. They see themselves as large, but they have practiced manipulating and hiding for a long, 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 long time, just like an addict. So they're very practiced at avoiding. They're practiced at hiding what they're not eating, putting the food under their spoon, and all kinds of things. They're practiced in hiding their laxatives and everything. Preferably, find some people who will take her in. Preferably, because to work this out yourself is maybe very difficult, because you're emotionally involved, and also you may not be able to give up work, and you don't know what's happening when you're not there. So this is a full-time problem, preferably residential, where people are going to love that person. And they may not be able to start facing the problem until they know they're loved. So it's got to be a very safe place. But yes, they can be helped in exactly the same way. It sometimes takes a long time.
I have a question here. What's the difference between addicts in the developing world and the West? Is any easier than the other? Who'd like to take that one? Maybe I'll just mention, in Pakistan, where I worked for 12 years, one of the big differences is that most, well, nearly everyone in Pakistan believes in God, mm-hmm. and they talk about God, and that made it very easy to engage in talking about prayer. So that was maybe one difference. Here, we live in a sense in a post-Christendom. The West is very much post-Christendom. We start from a different paradigm. Maybe that's one difference. Any difference you've encountered, or is everybody the same wherever they are?
I think they're the same.
Edward, are they different in Russia than they are in England or America?
Я думаю, в принципе, ничем они не отличаются.
I don't think people in principle are any different.
Я сказал, это один народ.
It's one people.
И у них один язык.
And when we were created, God made us as one people, and they had one language.
И как у нас в России говорят, что свой свояка видит издалека.
And as we say in Russia, everyone sees a problem from their own situation, from their own perspective. Thank you.
Okay, I'm really going to try and get through these very quickly before we finish. Why does the Holy Spirit seldom manifest in power and give the gift of tongues to recovering addicts in UK? I know it's not God's fault. Dr. Tani. And then Jackie. Come on, let's say it from England.
Okay. I think the point you mentioned is a key one, that the climate, the God-centeredness of the focus in the UK is very different. And I suppose it's like somebody said before, I can't remember who said it now, that you don't know you've got Christ until he's the only thing you've got. And I think the problem here is that in the UK, you've got everything. You know, you're ill, you don't think of God, you think of the GP first. You have a problem, you think of your solicitor first. You know, we always have a substitute. But where there's no substitute, God comes first. And I think it's the same mentality even when people are in addiction.
So Jackie, it's not God's fault. Whose fault is it?
Well, it's this has nothing to do with addicts. The average church doesn't know how to pray with people to receive the gift of tongues. It's sort of maybe if the Holy Spirit's flying around today, he might land on some lucky person. And let's see if there's a move of the Spirit. Well, everybody I pray with will receive in tongues because I'm bossy. And I know God. So I just make sure. The alternative is you leave people wondering why their friend got it and they didn't. And I think that's awful because they wonder for years. Well, if this is the gift, the only gift of the Spirit that builds you up, all the other gifts of the Spirit are to build other people up, why not receive it? So our addicts meet Jesus before they come off drugs, all of them, just. And we say, by the way, he'll give you a new language. And they all speak in tongues immediately. Because we tell them to. We don't wait for it to start. And they all do. Well, maybe they're doing it to please us, but that doesn't matter. You know, God still gives it. He won't give it. You know, it's not us forcing people. How can you force somebody to speak in tongues? You know, God gives the gift. We just make sure they receive it, which is kind. And, of course, we do this with drug addicts, but I'll do it with any Christian.
I have one here. We're near the end. I find our church ministry is getting more tied up with legislation like health and safety. Do you have people making paperwork and rules to tie down your work? Or is this an English thing? What about Edward? Do you have paperwork in Russia? Do you have bureaucracy in Russia, Edward?
Скажу вам честно, что она, конечно, есть, но я ей не занимаюсь.
We need to work with paper as well, but that's not what I do.
Потому что я знаю, что самое ценное для Бога это не бумаги, не бумажки, не деньги, это люди.
Because I know that before God, what he values most is not paper or money, it's people.
И хочу вам сказать, что проблема это, ну, почему такая проблема? Отвечу еще на тот вопрос.
And I want to say why we have this problem, maybe answering the previous question.
Мы можем это увидеть в Библии, где говорится, что 28 глава Второзакония.
Where we can see in Deuteronomy 28.
Когда люди не знают Бога.
Where people don't know their God.
Они могут слышать о нем.
And they can't hear about him.
Но они не могут знать его лично.
Maybe they have heard somewhere, but they don't know him personally.
И Писание говорит, что родишь сынов и дочерей.
And as the Bible says, the sons and daughters are born.
Но у тебя их не будет.
But you won't have them.
Потому что пойдут они в плен.
Because they will go into captivity.
В плен алкоголя.
Into the captivity
в плен
to
наркотиков.
Alcohol, drugs,
бандитизм.
Bandit,
gangsters.
И очень много людей высокопоставленных в России, которые они дали хорошее воспитание своим детям, но дети у них наркоманы.
And there's many people who gave their children very good upbringing and gave them all the opportunities, but all the same, their children went into drugs.
Thank you. There's a couple here that are very similar. They're about a wider addiction in our society. Addicted to war, question mark. Would the panel agree that the British are addicted to war and violence? This is why we're glued to our TV screens watching news reports of war around the world. This is why we export arms to the world to fuel these wars. And it's the 21st century. Are we slaves to fear? Has this made us addicted to the use of violence, the use of destructive force to make people do what we want because we fear them? And all the acceptance of the weapons of war. Any comments from anybody about that wider context of the of a sort of an addiction to violence that's in our society? Dr. Tani, would you like to comment?
No. No, no. I mean, except just to say that, you know, even with all these things happening, the world still belongs to God, you know, and He's in control. And so all things will work out in the way that he proposes.
But I think it's very true that there is addiction is not just to do with drugs. It's a much wider thing. We are all, in one sense, addicted to various substances or patterns of behavior. Our societies are equally addicted. And we need to put this in a much, much wider context. The truth is we all have our addictions. What's yours? That's partly what we're exploring. Two last questions. I'm really pushing it. Jackie, do you see the new church in the marketplace working with the poor?
Is this a practical question? Have I seen it? No. No, I haven't. I've seen nice Christians gathering together and being thrilled that we're not with them. And full of admiration for what we're doing. But no, I haven't seen it as a cohesive whole. And I think the kingdom of God will come as we realize that it's all kinds of people, the professionals, the street sleepers, the doctors, the addicts, the policemen, the judges, the businessmen, all in the same so-called church.
But is there a sense where you've seen it?
Well, ours, because I work hard at it, but you have to work hard at it, because all the church growth books are about having the same kind of people as you. How to grow your church. No, it's Mr. Average begetting Mr. Average. There aren't church growth books about a mix-up of people because it's awkward and it's clumsy. It takes very, very much longer, but it is the kingdom and it's very attractive as you grow it.
Amen. And I think it's the recovery movement, that whole movement, people coming off and discovering God, is probably one of the fastest growing movements in the world, to see people turning to Christ and discovering that He is the one who brings that abundant life. A question to each one, very briefly.
So, sorry, can I just respond to it? I was just going to say that one of the great things that's happening in Liverpool is actually a turning outward of the church. There was a program last year called Mercy Fest, which had 10,000 Christians on the street engaging with the community. But it hasn't ended there. This year, the same thing is continuing all the way through to 2008. Yeah, so there is a move of God. It's a slow process because we human beings, we're stubborn. And God is having a real job with us. But we do get there in the end. So,
thank you. There's a question I saved here for the end. If there is one top tip for Christians in the UK working alongside people with addictions, what would it be? One top tip from each one of you. So let's start with Edouard. What's your top tip? No, Edouard. What's its one top tip, one piece of advice for Christians in the UK working alongside people in addiction? What would it be? A piece of advice. One from each one of you.
Ну, конечно, мой лучший совет, знаете, сейчас очень много людей, которые стали заниматься зависимыми.
My advice is, well, if we know there's many people who've started working with drug addicts.
Они хотят им помочь.
They want to help them.
Но это уже стало как модно.
And it's almost become like a fashion.
И люди не могут ничего сделать.
And they don't know what to do to help.
И мой самый лучший совет, чтобы помочь таким людям.
And my advice to help these type of people.
Ну, нужно лично знать Иисуса Христа.
Is that you need to know Jesus Christ yourself very well.
Если ты не будешь помазан на это служение.
To help other people. If you're not anointed on this ministry.
У тебя ничего не получится.
Then you don't have anything to give.
Ни 20, ни 24 шага не помогут, если Иисус не поможет.
It doesn't matter how many steps, not 12, not 20, if it's not Jesus that's helping them.
Thank you. Dr. Tani?
My advice would be this, that don't do it for your own gain. You know, many think it's a way to build up their church. If you do it for your sake, you've lost it. It's got to be about them and not about, you know. And I know churches are good at doing things that will build up their church, but this is not what it's about. Okay, so if you're in it for that, forget it.
And Jackie, I'm going to ask you to say what you want to say and then pray. And I think you just had a couple of words.
About 20, yes.
So you want to use that as part of your prayer.
I think understand your criteria for success, which is the same as the doctor's answer. The success of helping drug addicts is the pouring out of Jesus' heart. It's not how many are changed. It's nothing to do with measurable results. It's a qualitative measure. What has been the quality of Jesus' love shown through you? Not how many percent are off drugs. That's nothing to do with it.
Can you, Jackie, would you better do those in the beginning of the next session? Or is it specifically?
Yeah, I guess we can. Yes.